Let's look to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we do praise you, Father, Lord, for this time to magnify you and to give you glory for the work that you have done in this man and in this woman of God. We thank you for them, Lord, and we thank you for their family. We thank you for their family extended. Lord, we appreciate this church, this ministry. God, we thank you for all that are listening here today, and we ask you, Father, that you would give me utterance, that I would say what you want me to say for the same reason you want it to be said. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our magnificent Lord. Amen and amen. I love him. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to do something here. In Colossians chapter 1, I want to look at something that I think is very important. And, of course, we sought the Lord and asked God what he wanted us to share. And I'm going here, and I also want you to turn to a place in Isaiah chapter 40. I won't do like I say sometimes in my church, but you just mark that spot. In Isaiah 40 also, glory to God. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading there. Beginning at verse 3, I'm going to read down to the 12th verse. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit, listen carefully now, and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it. And understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also confirmed or informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask, listen carefully again, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Excuse me, I'm stuck here. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Sometimes when a person irritates you, it causes you to really listen because you just can't wait for them to shut up to go to the next point. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please him to all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, hallelujah, who has qualified us, hallelujah, who has qualified us, bless his name, who has, lift your hand up. You know, I came out of the Church of God in Christ, so you were kind of emotional folk. Who has qualified us, amen. To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want us to look at something here. It says, notice where it says that you're bearing fruit and increasing, even as has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. So there's a connection. As we understand the grace of God in truth, and that's something that's growing in us, our understanding of the grace that God poured out on us, or like Ephesians says, that he lavished on us, The more I understand that, the more fruit I bear. Hallelujah. And it is also to be understood that Epaphras was the one who brought and taught that. And immediately I thought of Pastor Bales when I thought of Epaphras here, who has come and shared and broke down the word of God and taught us and expounded on the grace of God. I don't know about you, but what happened to me when I learned it, because I had been in ministry many years. And after I heard some of the teaching, I thought to myself, where are the tapes where my preaching is? I want to try to get rid of them. Can I hide these and burn these and melt these? But it so helped me and so brought Christ to a greater light. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Glory to God. And I was so overjoyed with the teachings. Praise God. And so this is when we learn more about the grace of God. I'll quote for you from Chuck Swindoll. He said, the real tragedy in Christendom, in the evangelical world, is the heresy that we get focused on the work of God and do not fully comprehend what Jesus Christ did in us. And that is so profound, because we do not produce the work of God unless we fully understand what God did in us. Otherwise, we're actually doing things outside of the grace of God, which means God's not glorified and it's not being produced by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is not producing it, it's not worth anything. Isn't that kind of scary? To mean I can be doing Christian stuff and it's not being produced by God himself? Grace causes us to understand what was done in us through Christ. I want to turn your attention here to Isaiah. This is kind of a strange thing, and I was kind of puzzled a little bit as I was looking at this, but I had to share this because it helps us to take a glimpse at who we're dealing with, the majestic and the gloriousness of our Lord. And I want to begin here at the 10th verse. Isaiah 40, I'm going to read a little bit of this. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his, good God, in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales. Beloved, listen to whom we have to do. Verse 13. Here's God speaking. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him the way of understanding? Yeah, who? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and as regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine, good God, like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman cast it, a goldsman plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. I always get tickled at that passage because God was calling this. When Isaiah wrote this, God was calling the circle of the earth. And you understand that we thought way later than that time that the earth was flat. The majestic and the glory of the God that we're talking about, he alone is literally unfathomable. We literally learn these things just enough to learn we don't know. When we see God, the revelation of him teaches us to see that we don't see, and to realize just how little we understand. Listen to what he says here. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Whew. Now, I know that's metaphoric, but you have to understand. Look at just the awesome power of God for us to be able to comprehend him, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them, and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. How awe-inspiring to see just how great God is. When we think of it, we come to one conclusion. We don't know. Like when he looked at Ezekiel and said, can these bones live? A profound answer. Lord, thou knowest. And so we are in all of the things that we see concerning God, that we are dealing with someone that we can't get our minds around. Think about it. We are in a day and age that we're inspired about the things that we've accomplished on the computer, in our space explorations, as far as our telescopes can see. And we really feel good about the human race and how far we've gone. And there's a sense of pride that we've taken in the human race because of our discoveries and the things we've been able to figure out. But when you compare them, just to stop and think about just this little passage of scripture, to think about what we do not know and what we cannot possibly fathom. And then when we think about the fact that he included us before the world began, he chose us to be his children. To stop and make the comparison alone of who we're dealing with is shocking in our realization. And then to flip the cart and say he included us to be in his family. Every time we think about this, the realization comes to us how grateful to God we should be. When we sing, I told our church one time, I said, we should have to sit you down every week. Okay. God bless you. From people being so excited, realizing what has happened to them by God's own choice. Look at your neighbor just for a moment. And I don't want you to do it like they do it in prison, because that means that you grit on them. But look at them just for a moment. And lovingly smile at them and say, do you realize? Tell them that. Do you realize what has been done for you? And who did it? I have to agree with what Chuck Swindoll said. The real crisis is not in the work that we're not doing, and that is a crisis. But the real crisis is that we don't understand what was done in us to the fullest extent. You do not realize just how blessed you are as a congregation to have this feeding that you're getting every week. In fact, you should try to get the front seat just to make sure you get every nugget that drops, praise God, onto your ears coming out from this man of God. I know what he has, because you cannot feel, you can't get anybody else hardly in Grace Church on Thursday night when they know it's the third Thursday. Incidentally, you didn't come last Thursday and they were expecting you. Praise God. Glory to God. When I saw Ephesians, I didn't know that. I had been reading Ephesians for years, preached from it many times. Excuse me, because the emotion does kick in with me. But listen, for years I had been reading Ephesians. Preached from it, got excited about it. I always have loved the word. But when I saw you shouldn't be doing 4, 5, and 6 until you get 1, 2, and 3. When I saw that, and I went back and looked, and I said, hold up, what did it say? You are accepted in the same God. Hallelujah. The same God who looks at the nations like a drop in the bucket. It takes God humility to look at us. The very idea that we have accomplished something when God can send the heavens out like a curtain. And he can fold them. Just the idea. Amen. Let me tell you that. Let me put this in the language you said. God's bad. And the reality is, every time we stop and we see just how glorious our God is, and then he included me in the deal. Before the world began, he chose me. My brothers and my sisters, you got something to get excited about. And the reality is, the realization is, everybody is looking. Can I just say this, because this is kind of a step away, but everybody is looking for a good shepherd. First of all, we have people who are unaccountable, untouchable, and who do not know the really heart of the pulse of their people. I have to share this with Pastor Bell. Pastor Bell is excellent at dealing with idiosyncrasies. I got a group of them. And I cannot tell you, he just deals with, because he seems to handle idiosyncrasies. I know I'm the only one. I'll turn my back. If any of you have, you can raise your hand. And the idea is, You and I have to understand how wonderful it is to have a man of God who will come care for you right there. You know why he's able to do it, though? Yeah. Because he fully, I'll say, as far as we can fully comprehend, the grace of God bestowed on us. This is an ever-learning way. I repeat, this is an ever-learning. I don't mean to come to the knowledge. Once you come to the knowledge of truth, we still are ever-learning. And there's more to learn of the grace of God. There's more to understand. So I want to tell you something. Obedience is not sprinkled by your efforts. Obedience is generated by our understanding of grace. The more we understand grace, the more we have generated in us a desire to please God, a desire to love the unlovable, a desire to care about people. We don't have to work on it. He don't have to put on some face. It's generated by the understanding of what God did in him. Here's the awesome thing. It ain't just for him. You and I can produce the same kind of love. I like to tell you this. I certainly ain't there, my brother, because I do honor you. But I want to tell you this. I have noticed increase. Amen. The more I understand about the grace of God, the more I understand about what was done for me in Christ. even though we're dealing with such an awesome, omnipotent, omniscient, all that God. In fact, when you read that passage from Isaiah 40, you shouldn't even try to expound on it. So what are you doing? I'm trying. But the idea is you should look at that and just ponder. My God. Look at who we're dealing with. And after you've done that, realize he's included you. He's not a God who's afar off, but a God who's close. Epaphras was sent by God. I know Paul and them sent him. But he was sent by God to teach the church at Colossae the glorious things that Christ did for them. I stand to you today. As a church in prison, I see what's happening. I see lives transformed. Pastor Bales told me one time, you need grace for first love. I'll tell you what that means. He wasn't talking about the grace of God. He was talking about you need to be at grace so that you can handle what goes on at first love. Let me explain further. At first love, I had experienced many heartaches. But the things I was seeing at grace were inspiring. So I could go back and flow at first love. Hear me now. Hear what I'm saying. But the grace that God really was trying to get me was not the church, but to see the grace of God at grace so that I could see the grace of God at first love. I'll say it like this. The more I understood what God was doing with me, when I went to minister at first love, or when I dealt with the people's issues at first love, the more qualified I was to help them. And so they were able to experience more and more from me. Am I still there? They were able to experience more and more the love of God coming out of me. Because the more the grace of God I saw in me, I also saw all of the mess that was still in my life. It wasn't just a matter for me to go see people coming to Christ and people saying, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, and guys coming out of Islam into Christianity and guys coming out of gangs into Christianity. Yeah, that was inspiring. But what I began to see, my dear brothers and sisters, was my own mess and how God was patient with me, loving me, caring for me, not giving up on me, overlooking my stuff, and continuing to share his goodness with me. I was able to see grace at grace, and I was able to see grace at first love because I was able to see grace. Amen. I don't know if you got that, so I'm going to just try one more angle. The fact is, when I saw God and who the Bible says he is, it is a fearful thing to consider who we're dealing with. But when I turn and look at what was done by God
for the church by his grace to us, I was able to minister out of grace and not of my expectations for the people. I'm able to minister grace and not just by the results. I was able to minister grace not by the size of the crowd. I was able to minister grace not by how well I'm treated. I was able to minister grace not by the reactions of the people, and it sounds a whole like somebody we know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as sure as you and I are here, Jesus does not respond to us according to what we do. He responds to us as according to how he cares for us. And that care for us is ongoing and continue and never changes. The more you and I see in our pastor or in any man or woman of God, we should encourage them. We should try our best to support them, because in that one thing, you are seeing Jesus Christ in that individual. Because Jesus loves you when you are unlovable. Jesus loved you just as much as when you were on crack. Of course, nobody here was on crack. But Jesus loved you when you were in your depth of sin. He loves you just that much. The more I stop and think about how much he loved me, even as a pastor who's missing God, a pastor who's reacting to the people's behavior, but God is not reacting to mine. How much better when we understand, are we able to love other people? Pastor Bales, I like to say before the Lord Jesus Christ, I appreciate you. Because you saw some junk in me, and I watched you overlook it. I've seen my wife turn her head and just wait till I finally came around and said, honey, I'm sorry. I saw an associate pastor who acted like I couldn't do any wrong, even though she saw me make mess up after mess up. You know what that is? That's the grace of God. And the more we understand it, the more we embrace it, the more we're able to be a blessing to other people. What do you do when someone has done everything they can to hurt you? You love them. Yep, that's easy to say. The more we understand the grace of God. Let me read this again, verse 6, and I'm closing. Which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you, also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. I submit to you today, we will bear fruit. It will increase the more we understand the grace of God in truth.
Seventh verse. Just as you learned it from Pastor Bales. In this case, Epaphras. Church, you can bear fruit. Then what are you talking about? Do you understand the grace of God here? Yeah, I know you do. We understand it, grace, and we don't have him all the time. The more we understand that grace, the more fruit we should bear. Amen? Are you with me? Can you smile at me? Release me for a moment and smile. We bear fruit. I'm making an appeal. Don't you want more people to hear his teachings? Because they're not his. You're hearing God. Can just one person say hallelujah? The fact of the matter is, why not work at filling this place? Why not? When somebody at Grace is Grace Church and MCTC, when they're telling me I want to go to Pastor Bales' church, I applaud them. No, this one, I'm not mad if they want to come to First Love, but I'm glad when they say they want to come here. Do you know why? Because I know what they're going to get. Don't you want to see this spread? You know some churches are mega churches, and you hear them on television, you say, that's a mega church? And you're getting the teaching that you're getting. I don't know why I can't get some emotion back. This is a reality, y'all. Come on, talk to me. You've sat here. You've heard this teaching. I've sat under him. Man, this is delicious. The first thing I heard the day that they came and did that summit, him and Dr. Young, when they first came, I called that top shelf teaching. And I had been in the church for 20 or so years at that point. I think you should get excited. Combe Rockville. Combe Gaithersburg. Combe Germantown. Combe D.C. Can I get an amen? I think you should combe Frederick, but not on our side. But you should combe, praise God. You should listen. I'm serious. You should combe. Don't you want other people? Do you imagine what people get? Do you now if I mess up, I don't feel like I used to. It didn't take me 3 weeks. Do you know people who don't understand the grace of God when they sin? I'm getting too emotional, ain't I? People, when they sin, they'll ask God to forgive them. They don't understand the grace of God. You know what happens? They got to do good deeds for about 2 weeks, several Hail Marys and everything before they feel good enough. Can I get an amen? Before they come back. When you understand the grace of God, the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you understand that thing's gone. We saw a guy who slithered on carpet in a revival when I was a baby Christian. I said he slithered. He slithered down the aisle. I don't mean like he walked like he slithered. I saw it with my own eyes. The reason why the preacher never cast the devil out of the guy, you know why he didn't do that? I'll tell you why he didn't do it. Because he was sleeping with two women in the church. Found out later. One of them was my aunt. And so now check it out. That guy, that same guy, left out of that church, stabbed his wife 17 times and cut her throat. Granted, he shouldn't have been sleeping with no women in the church unless there was his wife, but let's check it out. The reality is, you and I need to understand something. If he would have caught and understood the grace of God, secretly, you know what he'd have did? God forgive me.
right to be doing that. I'm so sorry. Give me what I need to help this man. And he'd have broke on out of there and got to oil and went on and flowed. Can I get an amen? Amen. The reality is, you didn't get in this thing by your efforts anyway. It was Jesus Christ's efforts that brought you in this thing. We are free because of Jesus. We are delivered because of Jesus. We are chosen before the world began. Hallelujah! We are somebody. Not because we should be, because he made us so. That realization, people need to hear this. They need to hear this message. We need to get them in here so that it can be fed like you're fed, blessed like you're blessed, encouraged like you're encouraged. And the things you've learned, you can share with other people. So that people ask you, where have you learned that? I'll take you there. Amen. God bless you.